Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on two key areas. The first is the US GDP outcome for the third quarter of the year. It surprised on the upside, growing at 4.9%. suggesting that the US economy is incredibly robust and certainly not feeling the ill effects of recent interest rate hikes. The second topic, I think, is the ECB's interest rate decision that was held during the week. They kept rates unchanged, but I think it was more important to focus on the message from the ECB regarding the outlook for interest rates. Obviously, this week we'll have the medium-term budget policy statement from the Minister of Finance. And I think there we're likely to see a further deterioration of South Africa's fiscal position. I think the minister will try his best to respond to that deterioration by indicating that going forward, there will be further attempts to maintain fiscal consolidation and improve the fiscal outlook. But there's no doubt that there has been a revenue slippage, probably in the order of 60 billion rand. In addition, government has overspent, so the combination of that is likely to see a deterioration in the fiscal balance of about 1 to 1.5% of GDP, and obviously a further increase in government debt. I think one of the key areas that the markets will focus on is what is government going to announce regarding the financing of state-owned enterprises, in particular the financing of Transnet. It's very clear that most of the state-owned enterprises require significant financial restructuring, significant financial support. But government can't simply hand out those funds without some sort of assurance that these entities will be managed better going forward. And I think that government is expected to make some announcements, particularly regarding Transnet and the future financing of state-owned enterprises. So let's talk about the US GDP growth for the third quarter of the year. As I mentioned previously, growth came in at 4.9%, beating market expectations. The market was thinking that growth would be 4.5%. If I break it down by sector, most sectors made a meaningful contribution to the improvement in activity. There were only one or two areas that showed some sign of weakness, particularly on the fixed investment side, which I guess isn't surprising given the level of interest rates. But the standout feature was the strength, or the ongoing strength, of the consumer. And when we look at that strength, it was across all segments. In other words, consumer spending on services, exceptionally strong, as well as consumer spending on durables and non-durables. So no indication that the consumer is struggling to cope with the level of interest rates, which has to be a significant surprise. Obviously, that's been fueled by the fact that the US economy keeps adding jobs at a substantial pace, and for the most part, household income is holding up reasonably well. In addition, there was a very sizable increase in inventories during the quarter. Now, that is remarkable in the sense that economic growth was strong, consumer spending was strong, and yet inventories went up even more, suggesting that there's an underlying level of confidence within the business sector. You wouldn't accumulate inventories unnecessarily unless you think that economic activity is likely to hold on and not slow down substantially, and that's what the buildup in inventories would suggest to us. The other areas of activity also showed some improvement, particularly residential fixed investment. That has been under pressure for a couple of quarters, but there was a reasonable improvement in this quarter. And then there was another improvement in some of the intellectual property investment, which essentially focuses on the tech sector, software, etc. So a decent broad-based improvement in overall economic activity, but it's not going to be sustained. You can't expect that the US economy keeps growing at 4.9%. And for the year as a whole, we're still looking at growth rates of just over 2%. There's also a clear risk that given now the high base of activity, that economic growth could be disappointing over the next couple of quarters. It's also possible that we get one or two quarters of negative performance, given exactly that, the high base. For next year, we're looking at growth rates of around about 1%, maybe 1.2%, indicating that the US economy is likely to lose momentum, but not necessarily go into a significant recession. Hopefully that slowdown is enough to bring inflation fully under control, and I guess that's what the Federal Reserve will be hoping for. If it's not, if it's clear that the US economy is simply too strong and that wages and inflation remain elevated far too long, then the Federal Reserve would have no choice but to continue to hike rates, and I guess we'll get a sense of that early next year. The Federal Reserve has their final interest rate meeting of the year this week, and we expect interest rates to remain unchanged. But I think the message from the Federal Reserve is going to be one of caution. In other words, they're going to indicate that if inflation doesn't come down as expected, they are more than willing to raise interest rates further, and that the market can't be complacent, that this is absolutely the top of the interest rate cycle. I think a lot will depend on how shelter inflation unfolds over the next couple of months. A lot will depend on what happens to wage growth. So I think we're in an awkward phase where we're waiting for more evidence that inflation is moving in the right direction. And in the meantime, there is the prospect that interest rates have to go up further in order to bring a very vibrant economy more under control. Lastly, I think it's useful to have a quick look at the ECB's interest rate decision from last week. They decided to keep interest rates unchanged at 4.5%, very much in line with the expectations, but it was really the messaging around that decision that I thought was interesting. In particular, the ECB acknowledged that the euro area is weakening, that key parts of the region are softening in terms of activity levels. There's the risk of recessions occurring in a number of countries, including Germany, yet they're willing to keep interest rates elevated. They also indicated that from their perspective, as long as they keep interest rates at these levels for a considerable time, they believe inflation will be brought under control. If I look at my own forecast for inflation in the euro area, I think it only gets down to the 2% target at the end of next year, which would suggest that the ECB has to keep interest rates elevated throughout the first half of next year and only consider cutting interest rates in the second half. That, on the face of it, would argue that the euro area is going to weaken further, that you're going to see more fallout as a consequence of sustained high interest rates, and that key parts of the US, of the European economy are going to feel like they're under substantial pressure. The ECB will defend that by simply arguing that their main mandate is to get inflation under control, and once they've got inflation under control, they're more than willing to cut rates and re-engineer an economic upswing. But it's absolutely critical that they bring inflation fully under control before they consider cutting rates. And I think that's going to be the overarching message from the major central banks. Certainly, I think it will be the message, as I mentioned previously, from the Federal Reserve during the course of this week. I think it's the overarching message from the Bank of England, and that the developed economies are going to do what's required to get inflation under control. Fortunately for emerging markets, they have already started to cut rates. Not all of them, but some of them, particularly in South America, have seen scope to reduce rates because they've managed to get inflation back inside their target range. Obviously, they increased interest rates early in the cycle. They were certainly ahead of the developed economies, and I think it's only right that the emerging markets start to cut interest rates if inflation in those countries is fully under control. That, I think, does open the door for South Africa to consider cutting interest rates before the US and Europe cut rates. But I think there's an important proviso, and that proviso is that it can't be seen as electioneering. You can't be seen to be cutting interest rates for a political interest or to serve a political outcome. It has to be because you've got inflation fully under control and that it's justified in terms of the economic dynamics in the country. I think that sets South Africa up to consider cutting interest rates in the first half of the year ahead of the major central banks. And I think if it's done with that in mind, there shouldn't be a significant fallout in the South African financial markets and in particular in the currency market. So I think we're in still for high interest rates around the world for a few more months, but hopefully during the course of next year, we start to move into a global interest rate cutting cycle, which then sets up for a resumption of global growth during the course of 2025. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.